Well, I'm so glad to be able to speak with you guys today. I hope you guys have been enjoying the new year so far. I know that I definitely have. It's definitely been slow with just work and everything like that. but today we're going to be talking about, like Mark said, prayer. And we're going to be afterwards, we're going to have a few different times and settings to kind of pray together. But if you're going to give my lesson, my shorter lesson, a title, it would be Devoted to Prayer. And it comes out of the scripture in Acts 2, 42. We're not going to really read it, but it talks about the early church. And one of the things that it notes about the early church was how they were devoted to so many things, right? And one of the things that it mentions was that they were devoted to prayer. As a campus ministry who's striving to imitate the early church in many ways, this is a crucial aspect for us to imitate them in, and is the prayer in our prayers. And I think if you were to get one goal or one idea from my lesson, the goal isn't to make you feel like, okay, this is just like another thing that you have to do. It's like, oh, dang, man, I should really pray more, or like, oh, I should really be more faithful in my prayers, or things like that. That isn't actually my goal from this lesson. My goal is to make you feel like, wow, I have someone who's so powerful, and yet he wants to talk with me, right? Like he wants to have a dialogue with me. That's incredible. If you could get one goal from that, that's what I want you to take away. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, and we'll pick up there. And it says, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So there's so much we could really dive into here about how Jesus explains for us to pray. Explains to his disciples, but I want to really highlight just one thing here, and it's this opening line he starts with, and he says, "Our Father in heaven." And if you dive deeper into the root of this, Jesus is using this word, Abba, here to describe God. Right? Abba was a word or a term used often by just kids referencing their dad. It's like you call him Abba, right? Like daddy, papa, right? And so it was this very intimate connection between a father and a son or a daughter. You call him Abba, right? But oftentimes in the Bible, you see in the Old Testament, this word for father was used dozens of times in connection with God. But often it's saying you care for us like a father, or you are our father, right? So kind of using it more as a metaphor. But it was used to describe what God is like oftentimes. But here we see something so just mind-blowing. This would have been crazy for the Jewish audience to just hear or to really grasp, is what Jesus is doing is for us to call God our Father, to use it as a title. Jesus is using this as a title for God. And I think of what this highlights is, what he really wants us to understand is who we get to pray to. And I think that this is crucial before even getting to understand of this lifestyle of prayer is you have to get this motivation behind it. And I think the motivation comes from understanding who you get to talk with, who you get to have this conversation with. If you knew that you get to talk to somebody famous all the time, you would jump on that, right? Like I get to talk to LeBron James, like, oh, I'm on that, like easy. every day of the week, I'm gonna talk with him. You know, like I'm gonna ask him advice. I'm gonna like, you know, show him my game. Like I'm gonna do everything with him. But it's the same thing, except even more so with our Abba, our father, right? This is our dad. You know, this is someone who wants to hear from you. He wants to hear the good. He wants to hear the bad. He wants to hear just the mundane. You know, he wants to hear every aspect of your life. And I think that this just blows my mind, because this is somebody who can empathize and can comfort with me. And yet this is the creator of the entire world. This is the maker of each one of us in this Zoom call right now. This is such an important person. And yet he wants to talk with us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to understand what's going on, what you're feeling, what you're thinking, how what happened made you feel. You know, he wants to hear every aspect of your life. And the creator isn't asking us to just, not just to talk with him, but to call him dad along the way, right? Like we get to have this intimacy with God. We get to call him dad. And I think so often, you know, when we talk about prayer, like I said, I think we can miss that motivation behind it, behind why we should be praying all the time. But I feel like it comes so much from this aspect. It's the fact that this is who we get to talk with, you know? But the more you can understand that and see the creator of the universe wants to hear from you, the more naturally I think you're going to want to, it's just going to cause you to pray, right? You're just going to be like, what am I going to do? I just want to talk with him, you know? And so I think just to ask yourself is, you know, when you are praying, you know, how do you talk with God, right? Is this the type of intimacy you're coming to God with? You know, do you pray to him like he is your dad, right? And that will obviously affect just also the frequency, but just, you know, is this somebody that you're coming to as this is my dad and somebody that wants to speak to me about this? We'll keep moving along here, but just kind of like tied into this idea, in Luke 18, verse 1, we're going to read this parable of the persistent widow. It reads, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" And so I think that this scripture, I love how Jesus really uses this comparison of God, right? He's saying, look, clearly in this situation, you have an unjust judge, and yet even he would give in over time just because he's getting tired. Right? Somebody who's impartial, somebody that doesn't even care about the person would give in. And yet he's saying, but that's not even who you get to pray to. That's not who you're speaking with in these moments, right? He's saying, we get to pray to our Abba, to our Father, somebody that cares, somebody that wants to know you, and somebody that actually cares for your needs. But you know, I think it's also important to look at how she approaches the judge, right? Because she just keeps coming to him. You know, I think oftentimes we can get afraid and fearful of just kind of continuing to pray the same thing or continuing to pray something that's been on our heart. But, you know, I want to say don't be afraid to pray, continuously pray for things that you're passionate for. You know, God wants to hear it. And honestly, according to this, he's encouraging it from us. You know, he wants to hear us. He wants to hear our hearts. And especially if it's something that we feel deeply. And I think that, you know, it can come in many forms and, you know, whatever applies for you. But I think just some examples, you know, it could be something that you want to see God do in your life, you know, or something in somebody else's life. You know, maybe it's just to thank him for the stuff that he's already done for you. You know, I think don't stop praying for those things. Continuously pray for those things. Maybe it's, you know, you want to pray for the poor or for the lost. Or maybe it's a prayer for the church or for something you want to see in the church or something. Or maybe it's, you know, praying for political leaders. You know, maybe it's that you can be more humble or you can forgive in certain situations, you know. Maybe it's to change your perspective on something as a whole. You know, don't stop praying for these things. It highlights in earlier in the scripture, it says that then Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And I think that this was Jesus's heart. It was always going to pray. He's always going to pray for stuff and he's not going to give up, you know? And I think we need to have that same heart. And I'll say this too. The early church devoted themselves to prayer. But a lot of it was prayers in groups, you know? And I think, even there were moments for Jesus where he probably prayed alone, but there were times where we see that he would take people along with him, right? You think of like the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he's taking his boys with him, you know, at least. And I think there's something so powerful about praying together, you know, as the church. And I think as the church, they were devoted to prayer, you know, so it means that they were all kind of praying. And so I think there's something so intimate about it too, but you also get to understand what's going through somebody's head, you know, how somebody is feeling when you hear them pray. You know, I'll say too, this is a yesterday. Ricky and I got to pray together in the morning and it was so awesome. You know, I think it wasn't like a crazy long time, you know, but we got to just like connect. And I think I got to hear what's going through his heart, you know, things that I can follow up on later on, you know, and I could be praying for him for, you know, when we're not together, you know. But I think something so simple makes such a big difference in your relationships. It makes a big difference in what God is going to do in the church, and just faith overall. And so definitely pray together. And, you know, I just want to share real quickly something that encouraged me when I saw God kind of work and when I was praying without ceasing, you know. And I remember one time when I was in high school and, you know, I had been praying. I remember once my junior year or senior year of high school, I had decided to kind of pray for the whole summer for my brother. And kind of like for some context, he decided that he didn't want to be a disciple anymore, right? He kind of wanted to do his own thing. So he decided to leave the church. And, you know, I started praying for him that, you know, he would just see himself clearly again, you know, that he would see his need for God but he would do it all on his own prompting, right? That it wouldn't be from like a prompting from me or my mom or somebody like that. And shortly, honestly, after that whole summer of just praying nonstop, you know, I remember him telling me that he decided that he wanted to come back. And now, honestly, he's been such a rock in the church. He's been helping with the teen ministry. He's been leading worship. And now he's married to an awesome woman of God, you know. And I'll say that I had prayed for him many times before then, but I felt like when I really decided to put myself more towards this and pray more fervently and really show God that this was something that I felt really important about, that's when I really felt like, you know, God was wanted to work, you know. And so that was encouraging for me to see, in that, you know, but amen, that we get to pray to this God, right? A God that listens to us when we need it, someone that hears us and understands what we need when we need it. And so let's pray with that intimacy that God deserves and pray with the heart of this widow here. And God will listen to us. All right. So I'm going to turn it back over to Mark and Hannah, who's going to direct us and just some prayer.